This is episode 60 of the Marshall Street Podcast.
You're listening to the Marshall Street Podcast, the home of music industry know-how that will give you the skills to take your career to the next level. Here are your hosts, Ben Marshall and Stu Watts.
What's up, everyone? Welcome again to the Marshall Street Podcast, episode 60.
Yep.
This one is called Marketing Your Music in 2022. Very relevant stuff because it is 2022, as you're probably well aware. So if you love what you hear or see, make sure you share it with a friend. Tag them in your socials. Please give us a rating on Spotify. You can do that now, preferably 5 stars. We are doing free 15-minute consultations. Myself, Bennett, and Matt, we're all doing those, giving them away, free 15 minutes. Jump into our bios on Instagram. You will find them there. Anything else before we kick off?
Let's get into it.
Beautiful. So marketing your music. We want to touch on a few different things here. Understanding your audience is obviously a massive one. Understanding how to approach people in upper areas, you know, places like labels, management, things like that, as well as adapting to the changing, the ever-changing, you know, areas of technology and all that sort of thing. So
yep.
Kick us off, mate.
First thing, marketing. I mean, it's such a huge aspect of any creative field. And I think the first point that most artists in their early stages don't, I guess, realize is just how important it is.
Mm.
Like, there is definitely an argument to be had that the marketing is more important than the actual item you're marketing.
Mm.
You know, the subjective art that is the music can be liked or disliked depending on how you market it, depending
yeah.
on how the consumer finds out about you, depending on the color palettes that you use, depending on the tones that you talk about your art, depending if you first are exposed to an artist and they give you an excuse about why it's not good enough. Like, oh, I recorded the vocals like this. So suddenly you're like, you're already off to a bad start. So I guess the biggest thing that most artists don't get is they think that it all relies on the song.
Yeah.
They think that the music is the be all and end all. And if you write a great song that the world is just going to magically open up for you, when it's just not the case.
Well, I just always think about how many amazing songs are never heard.
100%. The majority of great bands would never leave the garage.
Yep.
And then, you know, you used a great example on a podcast where releasing music without marketing is kind of like going and getting a CD made, leaving it on a park bench, walking away and hoping someone finds it. Like, there is so many songs. There's so much art. There's so much music released on the internet.
What is it, something like 140,000 songs uploaded
to Spotify?
Each week?
Yeah, it's a ridiculous
number. It'd
be
way more now.
And it's only growing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, how does your song stand out in that?
Yeah.
The answer, it has to be marketing.
And the conversations that I had, you know, with us and the artists that come through, they haven't even thought about it. That's the scary thing. It's like, how can you believe that you are going to break into the music world and be known and get fans when you haven't even thought about how you're going to market yourself?
Mm-hmm.
It's bananas. It's baffling.
Yep.
It blows my mind.
It is crazy. And you can see the artist that it comes naturally to. Because a lot of the stuff they're doing without, I guess, intentionally knowing it's marketing, what they're doing is putting themselves in a position for their band or their music to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day when we had the DYE sticker campaign, when we started it, we didn't sit down and have a marketing meeting. We were just like, hey,
it'll be fun to do.
We need people to know about us.
Mm-hmm.
That seems logical. It's like, it doesn't matter what songs you make, if no one knows about you, who the fuck is going to listen to you?
Yeah.
They can't.
No.
So to us, it wasn't, hey, there's this marketing. It was, all right, we're just starting out. I had no experience, but we knew our band needed to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like you hear about bands back in the day, you burn a heap of mixtapes and you go hang out in front of the local gig and you'd hand out your mixtape to an audience of a similar band. And that is that's marketing.
Yeah. Yep.
That's how you get your band out.
Yep.
These days, the barrier to entry has just been reduced significantly because everyone can market themselves through any social media platforms or online. You know, back in the day, you needed money to market effectively.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it was guerrilla marketing tactics like street teams, stickers, posters.
Yep. And I think another way that people win before they even start is having an awareness of who they are and what makes them identifiable and unique and what makes their music stand out. Without having that idea of this is why my music is important or this is why I'm different, you know, that is a great first thing to think about. Because if you understand, you know, if you understand yourself and if you understand why your brand is something that people will want to hear, mm-hmm. that makes things easier when it comes to actually planning how you're going to approach your audience.
Points are different. It's exactly, you know, if you're opening a business and you want to attract customers to come, say you open a gym and you want customers to come to your gym and not the gym down the road, what are the points of difference? Yeah. Why is your gym better than someone else's? Why is it different to someone else's? Better is sometimes subjective. Yep. So why is it different?
Yeah.
And not only that, if you're now, say you've got resources and finances to start paying for marketing and paying for PR, guess what? An article highlighting your points of differences is going to be so much more effective than just another generic article about a gym. There's a million gyms. 100%. But if someone reads one, they're like, oh man, this person has addressed this point and I actually haven't been happy with my gym for that reason.
Yeah.
Suddenly you've started to convince them and suddenly they're going to start to become a client and they're going to be a fan.
You know what I've just thought about is when I go to the barbershop to get my haircut, they have barbers magazines. And, you know, they will interview different barbershops and take photos and interview the actual owner and stuff like that to find out what makes them, you know, the barbershop in New York to go to. And it's like, it's the same sort of thing. It's like that, why would that magazine interview that barbershop if there was nothing special about it?
If there was nothing different. And even like, I remember a few years ago, probably like 5 or 6 years ago, when the first, when barbershops kind of started to come back in Melbourne and they were serving beers at the, when the, I think it was on Smith Street or something.
There was one.
There was one that first opened and they had like the old school traditional barber chairs and they served beers. And I swear for like 6 months, all I heard from like different circles was, oh man, I went, got my hair cut and I had a beer while I was waiting. And you're like, like it's a point of difference.
100%. Now most of them do it.
Now it's almost a standard.
I love it. And so, when it comes to marketing, there's so much to unpack there because it's not just marketing. It's not just I'm going to try and get interviewed in a magazine. It's not just I'm trying to get my music heard. Yep. The best way that you can know how to approach something is understanding who you're about to talk to. And that first one is the audience.
Well, even I'd reverse engineer that. I think before you can understand who you're talking to, you need to, one, understand yourself.
Yep.
As an artist, and sometimes that's stripping back the facade. In different genres, there is a lot of ego and a lot of facade. You need to strip all of that back to find out who you actually are as an artist and what art comes natural to you. Because if you're making art and music that is forceful and it's not really you, you're going to get found out eventually. It's going to be a long slog trying to keep up this persona. So one, it's understanding you. But then it's like anything, it's grasping the mindset of marketing because there isn't just one thing you can do and it's like, hey, now I'm marketing myself. It's understanding the whole point of marketing is to expose yourself to a new audience and get new listeners and new fans. Yep. So that's the end of the point. That's the end of the game. And there is different mediums to do that. You can do that online, in print, in person, podcast. So there's a million different avenues, but it's understanding the mindset of, all right, I need to expose myself to a new audience. And once you really grasp that, then you can look at the tools available to you at any one point in time and go, what is the best way for me to use these tools? Because you only have a finite amount of hours in the day. So you can go, okay, right now with the internet, there is Spotify, there is TikTok, there is Instagram, there is podcast, there is YouTube, there is Facebook, and they're just the social media platforms. There is a million different ways. There's in print articles, there is blogs.
And I think the other thing to that is each individual genre will have a different way to market as well.
And well, so they'll have different, I guess, stereotypes or norms.
Or what people look for when they're thinking of industrial metal or something like that, you know. And so within each of those platforms, you have to know how to approach that as well. What's going to work for you in that regard too.
And then once you identify all those different avenues of potentially marketing yourself, then you need to go, okay, cool. Now you need to start trying it. And then go, oh man, sweet. I did 6 months on Facebook and it didn't get me the results, so I need to find something else. Or then you can look to TikTok or Instagram. But it's understand the mindset behind it of going, cool, I need to use whatever tools are at my disposal to grow my audience, to put myself in front of someone who yesterday didn't know my art.
And the other thing to that is you don't know where someone can find you.
100%.
Like you might not expect someone to find you on YouTube for some weird reason. I've heard weirder things said. But if you're shutting yourself off from that sort of thing as well, that's a bad mindset to have. If you're someone that says, I'm never going to get found on TikTok, so I'm not even going to try. That's bad marketing.
Well, and usually that stems from them putting their own actions, habits, or beliefs onto how they think the consumer will find them.
Mm.
When that's the worst thing you can do, because essentially then you're marketing to yourself. Mm. Go buy your own fucking CD. Yeah. So it's like people, so you true. Need to allow people to find you however they surf the net.
Yeah.
If that's them lying in their fucking underpants on their bed at 2 a.m. going down a YouTube rabbit hole and that's how they find new bands, you need to be in the position for them to find you the way they look for shit.
Yep.
It's not the way you do it. Otherwise,
yeah.
Buy your own shit and then yeah. don't complain.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, absolutely. So understanding the platforms is another huge side of marketing. Like, yep. And there's always new ones. You know, you have 100%. To be ready to adapt. You have to be ready to learn, to understand, and because they're going to keep coming.
Yep.
And making excuses is the worst thing you can do.
Yeah. Everyone has access to the same Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has access to the same TikTok, the same Facebook. And I think now that we're about 4 platforms in, people are picking up on trends. And if they're not, I'd be very concerned. Mm. I'd go get a day job, to be honest. If you haven't seen what has happened through Facebook in 2008 to Instagram in 2013 to musically taking over TikTok in 2015 and how big that is now it was in 2018 yep. to where it is now in 2022, if you don't understand these cycles and you don't see the next platform coming, you're in for a long learning curve because it's using the internet to expose yourself to more people. That's what it is. It doesn't matter what the tool is. People get so emotionally attached to, oh man, this is my Instagram or this is my TikTok. And it's like, hey, these are all just platforms. Yeah. These are all just things for you to utilize.
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck who owns it? Who gives a fuck what the name is?
Yeah.
You're using it to find someone on the other side of the world who didn't know about you yesterday.
And this is the thing as well. If you genuinely have an understanding of all of the different platforms, you will know how to use those platforms to market it. It's not about that platform being wrong for you.
Mm.
It's about you finding a way to utilize it so that it does benefit you. Who's to say that you're not the best industrial metal band on TikTok, for example?
Yep.
I've never seen an industrial metal band on TikTok. Why aren't you the first one then?
Yeah.
Why aren't you finding a way to make that your platform and you being the one to be seen?
100%, because I can guarantee you at this point when how kind of platforms work is at the start they live in this kind of fluid state where they're not sure who they are and TikTok is now slightly evolving from that, but they live in this level of fluidness and then they solidify around the big players in the game.
Mm.
So for instance, now it's much harder to build 100,000 following page on Facebook than it was in 2010 because they've solidified around the big players. It's just harder to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So while platforms are new, that's when there's obviously less rules. It's like the wild, wild west more you can get in and you can expose yourself to a much bigger audience and you can be one of the first ones in there. But it really just comes back to understanding what you're using it for. Knowing like going, the point of TikTok is the same thing that you'd have Instagram or to have Facebook for.
Mm-hmm.
You're using free tools at your disposal to show your music to other people.
To get runs on the
same
board.
Same with Spotify. It's like the people who complain about Spotify streams, it's like, well, all right, take your music off Spotify and see how many people listen to you.
Yep.
But also use it for what it is. Like the worst mistake you can do is, as you said, is to misuse platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, Facebook reacts really well to long form written. For whatever reason, like if people who, you know, pour their heart out and post a real emotional post that's, you know, a paragraph long, that gets much better engagement on Facebook than a picture does.
Mm.
5 years ago, Facebook was all pictures.
Mm.
Now it's not, it's written word.
Yep.
Pictures work great on Instagram.
Mm.
If you're posting slabs of text on Instagram and pictures on Facebook, you're going to be sitting back going, man, social media just doesn't work.
Yeah, it's nuts, shit.
It's when you're misusing the tools that you have.
Yep. Yeah, and so when you have that understanding and you are able to not only recognize what makes you who you are and why you're marketable, then utilizing the tools of the trade to get your face out there, to get your music heard, et cetera, then it comes to that next step, which is trying to appeal to, like you said, people don't know who you are, but not only that, organizations that don't know who you are. And if you're trying to break into the music industry and break into whatever, you know, genre you're playing, there's going to be people there that need to know who you are.
Yep.
And so,
especially if you're going down, I think where you're leading here is getting to a label. So if
labels, management, etc.
If you want someone to basically invest and believe in you, you need to have an understanding of your audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially now if you're going down the major label route, you need to be able to go into these label meetings and sit down and go, hey guys, these are my stats. And these days, every independent artist has access to their own analytics in the back end. So it's not like there's, you know, this
guesswork.
Yeah, you have that. So then you can go into these meetings with labels and you go, hey guys, this is my audience. This is my segments between male and female. This is their age bracket. This is why I can communicate to millennials and why you can't. And that's why you need me on your roster. Mm. If they could come up with the messaging that millennials identified with, they would do it without you. The reason they need artists is because you show them, you go, hey guys, look, I can connect with people in this age bracket really fucking well.
Yep.
So they listen to my message.
Yep.
That's why you put me on your roster.
That's why I'm the next band.
Yeah.
That's why I'm the next artist.
Yep.
And so these are the foundations of, you know, any business, is that they need people to make the money, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's what we're talking about, major labels.
Yep.
They're into the money.
Yep.
And so what
makes... The A&Rs aren't making music.
No. And so what is it about you? So you have to, again, strip it all the way back. You got to start from the start. If you haven't done it already, you need to make a big mind map. You need to whiteboard it out. You need to write a whole 15-page essay about unpacking you. Mm. Who are you?
Yep. What are your values? What color palettes do you use? You know, what are the fonts you're going to stick with on your Instagrams? Having those two or three fonts that you consistently use means your branding is tighter.
It's identifiable.
Using the same unique colors. It's like suddenly you're developing a brand.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly when people hear your song, it's not just a random song they don't know. They're like, oh, this is this person. I know this story. Because you've left that narrative out there in a well, easy to digest way for consumers to get. It's not a complete mess of random colors and random fonts and just, you know, a mess, a branding mess.
Well, and here's another one for you that's, if you listen to hip hop, is the producer's tag at the start of the song.
Yeah, yeah.
Something as simple as that is only used by this one artist. And people know who they are.
That wasn't around five years ago. No. Like there was no way artists would let a producer leave a watermark in a beat like that five years ago.
Yep. But now it's a cool thing to do.
It's a great way to market it. And then you know, when you hear a track, you're like, damn, this producer's active as fuck. I'm hearing him all everywhere.
Yep. Yep. And so what else? There's so many of those sorts of things.
100%. Like it's limitless. Like there was the first producer to be like, you know what? I'm sick of the rappers getting all the credit, and the only way for them to find who their producer was to look in the liner notes or to go to Spotify and go show credits. He goes, fuck
Which
yes.
also didn't exist back then.
Yeah. You know? So it's like there came a point where a single producer got sick of that and he went, fuck this, I'm going to come up with a watermark and I'm going to tag my beats.
Yep.
And when he first did that, he would have got pushback from every artist going, no, you can take that out. I don't want that in my track.
Okay, well, you're not having my track. Cool. My track's good. It's worth it.
Like, and then now it becomes a norm.
Yep.
So, you know, you can always look for new ways to innovate marketing and just identify yourself, because ultimately you want to stand out from the pack.
Yep.
And then there's also tried and tested methods like street team stickers. Mm-hmm. If you sticker your city for 4 years, and I mean sticker it, I can guarantee you,
I know from experience, people
will notice. Yeah. People will notice. So, you know, you can look back and, you know, take inspiration from things that genuinely inspire you. If you like street art and Banksy and that kind of underground art, hey man, your marketing should lead in that sort of direction, because that's what you like. That's on brand with you.
Yep.
I
think one other thing to this is, like, if you're hearing all this and you're like, oh man, this sounds like a lot of work. We've talked about it before. The planning side of things is so important. If it means that you don't yet understand the platform, schedule in an hour of your week every week for months to try and unpack a new area of that website, you know, whatever it might be. Go to the information page and read it. Like, there's always new things that you can learn, but scheduling in these times to do these sorts of things will mean that you'll be further on in that 6 months than you were before.
Yeah, if all of this sounds daunting, you need to upskill yourself in marketing.
Yep.
Like, flat out. There's just no other way. If you're hearing this and going, man, this is a lot of stuff that I just haven't thought about, and I spend all my time, you know, locked in my room making music, there's probably a reason your music isn't being heard. You need to go and upskill yourself in the art of marketing and find out how to, one, expose your band and your art to more people, because that's going to complement the music that you're making.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, unfortunately, you'll just be another artist whose music didn't leave their bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And so you've done these things, you've made a plan, you've done some scheduling to actually dedicate time towards these things.
Mm-hmm.
Is there other stuff that you would recommend, as someone that's been in a band as well as, managed an artist, you know, what else can people do if they're listening to this?
Well, the cycle is super easy. You do, you review, and then you repeat.
Mm-hmm.
Do something, put together, go, all right, we're going to do a campaign, a marketing campaign. It's going to be 2 months. This is our plan. This is the budget we've got. We're going to go do it. Once that's done, you execute it to the best you can possibly do. Mm-hmm. You then review it. Hey, did it work? Did we put in more followers? Did we lose followers? You know, go back and have a real look at the numbers and see how it went, and then do it again, review, repeat the process, get out and talk to other artists. Be like, hey man, I spent all this money on all these posters and I didn't really get a result. Talk to another artist in the scene, be like, hey dude, how do you get yourself out there? Tell them, I just went and did this, didn't really get the result. What's your experience?
Mm-hmm.
So get other people's points of view. That will just give you a better perspective on marketing. And then it's just don't stop. The only way to fail is to stop in this game.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I love it.
Nice. Well, is there anything else here? I think we've run through pretty much.
The key points of this, and that's why this might be a shorter podcast, is the whole thing about it is understanding your platforms, your audience, who you're marketing to, whether that's, you know, potential fans or whether mm-hmm. that's a label.
Yep.
You have to have the understanding of what you're doing before you do it mm-hmm. and then trial it. Like you said, just do a whole bunch of different trials. It's not set and forget. You're not going to win by doing the same things 50 times and expecting better results each time.
Yeah. And you'll never get to a point where you're like, well, that was it, done marketing myself. And it's like you've got to constantly be doing it. And that's why good artists, it becomes seamless. It becomes a part of their life doing stories and lives on whatever platforms are hot at the moment. That it becomes so ingrained in them that it's not an effort to market yourself. Mm-hmm. You're just telling people your true story.
Absolutely.
You're just telling people your narrative. You're telling people what you're doing each day.
Yep.
That is marketing.
Yep.
And then again, if people who come under this facade or they put on this front on socials, it's those people who generally can't keep it up because you're trying to front for your life. You just can't. You got to be genuinely you and show people your story.
And it'll be hard. You'll have so much resistance.
It'll be so hard.
Like not only from the people that you're trying to market to, but yourself.
Yeah.
You're going to be pushing against yourself and it's just going to be so difficult.
And no one will believe it.
No one
believes it. People smell bullshit a mile away.
They can see through it. They can absolutely, I don't really trust this person.
Yeah, if you're rapping about gats and gangs and shit and you've never done it and lived that life, get out of that lane. Like, no one's going to believe you.
Yeah, yep. So true.
So takeaways are marketing. It is the mindset, you know, I would argue it is more important than the subjective art you're making, which would be crazy for artists who have spent the last 3 months in their bedroom crafting songs and then they're going to drop them with no release plan and wonder why they haven't got success. I will sit here and tell you, I believe the marketing side of it is more important than the song that you're making.
Yep.
And really understanding the mindset, understanding the platforms, how to use them. And then it's just continuing. It's like everything. The only way to fail is to stop.
Yep.
You know, start that journey now. In 2 years, you're going to be better. In 5 years, you're going to be better. You'll just keep growing. It's like we always say, it's like building a brick wall, brick by brick, every day. Just find a way to put one brick in place.
Yep.
It's super overwhelming if you look at a huge brick wall and go, hey, I need to build all of this.
Yep.
Super overwhelming, man.
Yep.
Just go, how can I add one brick?
Scheduling. Yep. Schedule it all out and take that half hour that you have in between coming home from work and cooking dinner.
Yep.
If you've got instead a spare of watching half
Friends,
hour,
sit on.
Yeah. True though. Like exactly though. That is a great point. Instead of playing Xbox, instead of you know watching TV or watching a movie, spend
sit
that time.
Sit on Instagram.
Yep.
Sit on Instagram. Learn TikTok.
Yep. 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 Information manuals. They're the way. I'm serious. I sat down last night. This is no joke. I sat down last night while Deb was watching telly, and I read about macros in Studio One. You know what I did? I installed about 10 or so different macros that now are going to make my workflow so much faster. Okay, so here's some of them. Building chords, extending note lengths, things like that take me so long. Okay, here's an example, right?
This is an aside. Hit us.
Okay, this is how I sometimes do it when I'm like, okay, what key is this in? And what notes are going to work for my auto-tune, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up a guitar, figure out the chord progression. Okay, that's in C major. All right, I understand that. Now sit, click. This sounds dumb, right? But now I'm going to level up and get better at it. Sit there and click out a note, drag it out, figure out which notes are in the key. I'm not that good at piano. I know what keys they are. Dragging the notes up and down. Now I've got macros that will do that for me. it's going to save me time. Yep. I leveled up.
Yep.
I spent that time last night.
You're better today than you were yesterday. And that's it. It's constantly improving. And in a month, you'll be quicker at using that than you are today.
Yep.
It's just and the only way to fail is to stop.
Yep.
You got to
get better. You have to improve on yourself. You have to, like, some people might hear that and go, he's a fucking noob. And I'm like, well, yeah, in that I am, but now I won't be because I'm going to get better at it.
100%. And I think, you know, here's a mindset shift for a lot of artists that sometimes is hard to hear. You're not the person right now to be the successful artist you want.
Yeah.
The picture that you have in your mind of the person you want to be, you're not that person now, and you're not equipped with the skills, knowledge, or experience to be that person.
Yep.
I'm not the business owner that I will be in 10 years.
Yep.
I need to go through some learning to become that person.
Yep.
You can't put off that learning and think you're still going to get there.
Yep, yep. I love it. Great aside, it's a really good point that you have to upskill yourself
to. Otherwise, you'll be the same person in 10 years and expect a different result. How are you going to be better if you don't go through these barriers?
Exactly. I love it. All right. Well, thank you again. And thank you again for listening and watching.
Yep.
We appreciate it.
As always, if you've liked what we've spoken about, if you've got a friend who's making music and you see them struggling with the marketing side of it, make sure to share this podcast with them. Tag it on it. If you listen on Spotify, you can now rate it. So give us a 5-star rating.
Get in touch.
That is how we can market it. As we've mentioned on all of them, we're now opening our calendars for 15-minute free artist consultations. Stu, myself, and Matthew Craig from AU Dollars. If you want to sit down and have a chat with us about your personal career, you can get some expert one-on-one advice. Schedule it in, and we will see you next time on the Marshall Street Podcast.
See ya.
Peace.